And when I healed Blitz's arm, or walked into that wall of flames on the Longfellow Bridge, I wondered if it was all the same kind of magic. Hearth seemed to take longer than usual to process my words. Not sure. His gestures were smaller, more careful. Alf Seder can be many things, usually peaceful magic, healing, growing, stopping violence. It cannot be learned, not like rune magic. You have Alf Seder in your blood, or you do not. You are son of Frey. Maybe have some of his abilities.
Frey is an elf?
Hearth shook his head.
Frey is the lord of Alfheim, our patron god. The Nir are close to elves. The Nir were the source of all Alf Seder.
Past tense? Don't elves still talk to trees and speak with birds and stuff?
Hearth grunted with irritation. He peeked around the corner to check on our neighborhood policeman.
Alfheim not like that, he signed.
Not for centuries. Almost no one is born with Alf Seder. No one practices magic. Most elves think Midgard is a myth. Humans live in castles and wear plate mail and tights.
Maybe 1,000 years ago.
Hearth nodded.
Back then, our worlds interacted more. Now, both worlds have changed. Elves spend most of their time staring at screens, watching funny pixie videos when they are supposed to be working.
I wasn't sure I'd interpreted his signs correctly. Pixie videos? But Alfheim sounded depressingly like Midgard.
So you don't know any more about magic than I do, I said. I don't know what it looked like in the old days, but I am trying to learn. I have given up everything to try.
What do you mean?
He glanced around the corner again.
Gomez is gone. Come on.
I wasn't sure if he'd missed my question, or he'd just chosen to ignore it. The funeral home was near Washington and Charles, tucked in a row of Bay Village townhouses that seemed lost among the newer concrete and glass skyscrapers. A sign on the awning read, Twining and Sons Memorial Services. A display by the door listed upcoming viewings. The top one read, Magnus Chase. The date was today, starting at 10 a.m. The door was locked. The lights were off.
Early for my own funeral, I said. Typical.
My hands were shaking. The idea of seeing my dead self was more unnerving than actually dying.
So do we break in?
I'll try something, Hearth signed. From his coat, he pulled a leather pouch. The contents clattered with a familiar sound. Runestones, I guessed.
You know how to use them?
He shrugged like, we're about to find out. He took one stone and tapped it against the door handle. The lock clicked. The door swung open.
Nice, I said. Would that work on any door?
Hearth put away the pouch. I couldn't quite read his expression, a mixture of sadness and wariness. I'm learning, he signed. Only tried that once before, when I met Blitz.
How did you two...
Hearth cut me off with a wave. Blitz saved my life. Long story. You go inside. I will stand guard here. Dead human bodies. He shuddered and shook his head.
So much for my elfish backup.
Inside, the funeral home smelled of moldering bouquets. The threadbare red carpet and dark wood paneling made the whole place feel like one giant coffin. I crept down the hallway and peeked into the first room. It was set up like a chapel. Three stained glass windows on the back wall. Rows of folding chairs facing an open coffin on a dais. I hated this already. I'd been raised non-religious. I'd always considered myself an atheist. So, of course, my punishment was to find out I was the son of a Norse deity,
go to a Viking afterlife, and have an open coffin memorial in a cheesy unifaith chapel. If there was an almighty god up there, a head honcho of the universe, he was totally laughing at me right now. At the entrance of the room was a poster-sized portrait of me, wreathed in black crepe paper. They'd chosen the same goofy fifth-grade picture from my elementary school yearbook. Next to it, on a small table, was a guest book. I was tempted to pick up the pen and write the first entry. Thanks for coming to my funeral, Magnus. Who would be here anyway? Uncle Randolph? Maybe Frederick and Annabeth, if they were still in town? My old classmates from 2 years ago? Yeah, right. If the funeral home offered snacks, some of my homeless buddies might show up, but the only ones I really cared about were Blitzen and Hearthstone. I realized I was procrastinating. I wasn't sure how long I'd been standing in the chapel doorway. I forced myself down the aisle. When I saw my own face in the coffin, I nearly threw up. Not because I'm that ugly, but because, well, you know how weird it is to hear your own voice on a recording? And how irritating it can be to see yourself in a photo if you don't think you look good? Okay, imagine seeing your actual body lying right in front of you. It was so real, and yet so not me. My hair was shellacked to the sides of my head. My face was caked with makeup, probably to cover cuts and bruises. My mouth was fixed in a weird little smile that I never would have made in real life. I was dressed in a cheap-looking blue suit with a blue tie. I hated blue. My hands were clasped over my stomach, hiding the place where I'd been impaled by a molten piece of asphalt. No, no, no. I gripped the sides of the coffin. The wrongness of it made me feel like my guts were burning all over again. I'd always had an image of what would happen to my body after death. This wasn't it. My mom and I had a pact, which sounds creepy, but it really wasn't. She made me promise that when she died, I'd have her cremated. I'd scatter her ashes in the woods of the Blue Hills. If I died first, she promised she would do the same for me. Neither of us liked the idea of being embalmed, turned into some chemically stabilized exhibition, then buried in a box. We wanted to be in the sunshine and the fresh air and just kind of dissolve. I hadn't been able to keep my promise to my mother. Now, I was getting exactly the kind of funeral I didn't want. My eyes watered. I'm sorry, Mom. I wanted to push over the coffin. I wanted to torch this place. But I had a job to do. The sword. If it was in the coffin, it wasn't in plain sight. I held my breath and slipped my hand along the inside lining like I was searching for loose change. Nothing. Thinking the sword might be hidden by a glamour, I stretched my arm over the coffin, trying to sense the blade's presence like I'd done on the Longfellow Bridge. No heat. No humming. The only other option was to check under the body. I looked down at Magnus 1.0. Sorry, man. I tried to tell myself the corpse was an inanimate object like a scarecrow, not a real person. Certainly not me. I rolled him to one side. He was heavier than I would have thought. Nothing underneath but safety pins holding the coat in place. A label on the white lining read, 50% satin, 50% polyester, product of Taiwan. I lowered the body back into place. Dead Magnus's hair was all messed up now. The left side bloomed like a bird of paradise flower. My hands had come unclasped, so I appeared to be giving everybody the finger. Much better, I decided. At least that looks like me. Behind me, a broken voice said, Magnus? I almost jumped out of my wiggle shirt. Standing in the doorway was my cousin Annabeth. Chapter 26. Hey, I know you're dead. But call me, maybe. Even if I hadn't seen her in the park 2 days before, I would have recognized her up close. Her wavy blonde hair hadn't changed since childhood. Her gray eyes had the same determined look, like she'd chosen a target in the distance and was going to march over and destroy it. She was better dressed than me, orange North Face ski jacket, black jeans, lace-up winter boots, but if people saw us together, they would have mistaken us for brother and sister. She stared at me, then at the coffin. Slowly her expression changed from shock to cold calculation.
"I knew it," she said. "I knew you weren't dead."
She tackled me in a hug. As I may have mentioned, I'm not a big fan of physical contact, but after all I'd been through, a hug from Annabeth was enough to make me crumble.
"Yeah,
my voice turned ragged. I extracted myself as gently as I could and blinked tears out of my eyes.
"It's really good to see you."
She wrinkled her nose at the corpse.
"Are you going to make me ask? I thought you were dead, you butt."
I couldn't help smiling. It had been 10 years since she'd called me a butt. We were overdue.
"Hard to explain."
"I guess that much. The body is fake? You're trying to convince everyone you died?"
Not exactly. It's best if people think I'm dead, though.
Because I am dead, I thought. Because I went to Valhalla, and now I'm back with a dwarf and an elf.
How could I say that?
I glanced at the chapel doorway.
"Wait, did you pass an elf? A guy on the way in? My friend was supposed to be keeping watch."
"No, nobody was out there. The front door was unlocked." My equilibrium tilted.
"I should check." "Whoa, not until I get some answers."
Honestly, I don't know where to start. I'm in kind of a dangerous situation. I don't want to get you involved."
"Too late."
She crossed her arms. "And I know a lot about dangerous situations." Somehow, I believed her. Here I was, a reborn super warrior from Valhalla, and Annabeth still intimidated me. The way she held herself, her steely confidence, I could tell she'd overcome some hard stuff, the same way I could tell which guys in the shelters were the most dangerous. I couldn't just blow her off. But I also didn't want to drag her into my mess.
"Randolph almost got killed on that bridge," I said. "I don't want anything to happen to you."
She laughed without humor.
"Randolph, I swear, I'm going to shove that cane of his. Never mind. He wouldn't explain why he took you to the bridge. He kept talking about how you were in danger because of your birthday. He said he was trying to help. Something about our family history."
"He told me about my father."
Annabeth's eyes darkened.
"You never knew your dad."
"Yeah, but apparently..." I shook my head. "Look, it would sound crazy, just... there's a connection between what happened on the bridge and what happened to my mom 2 years ago and who my father is."
Annabeth's expression transformed. She looked as if she'd opened a window expecting to see a swimming pool and instead found the Pacific Ocean.
"Magnus. Oh, gods."
"Gods," I noted. "Plural."
She paced in front of my coffin, her hands tented like she was praying. "I should have known. Randolph kept rambling about how our family was special, how we attracted attention. But I had no idea you..."
She froze, then grabbed my shoulders.
"I'm so sorry. I didn't know sooner. I could have helped you."
I'm not sure..."
"My dad's flying back to California tonight after the funeral," she continued. "I was going to catch the train for New York, but school can wait. I get it now. I can help you. I know a place where you'll be safe."
I pulled away. I wasn't sure what Annabeth knew, or what she thought she knew. Maybe she'd gotten mixed up with the Nine Worlds somehow. Maybe she was talking about something totally different. But every nerve in my body tingled with warning when I thought about telling her the truth. I appreciated her offer of help. I could tell it was genuine. Still, those words, "I know a place where you will be safe." Nothing activated the flight instincts of a homeless kid faster than hearing that. I was trying to figure out how to explain that when Hearthstone stumbled into the chapel doorway. His left eye was swollen shut. He gesticulated so frantically I could barely read the signs. "Hurry! Danger!" Annabeth turned, following my gaze. "Who?" "That's my friend," I said. "I really have to go. Listen, Annabeth..." I took her hands. "I have to do this by myself. It's like a personal...
quest?"
"I was going to say pain in the... yeah, quest works. If you really want to help me, please, just pretend you didn't see me. Later, after I'm done, I'll find you. I'll explain everything, I promise. Right now, I have to go." She took a shaky breath. "Magnus, I probably could help, but..." She reached into her coat pocket and pulled out a folded piece of paper. "Recently, I learned the hard way that sometimes I have to step back and let other people do their own quests, even people I care about. At least, take this." I unfolded the paper. It was one of the missing flyers she and Uncle Frederick had been handing out. "The second number is my phone. Call me. Let me know when you're okay, or if you change your mind, and..."
"I'll call."
I kissed her cheek.
"You're the best."
She sighed.
"You're still a butt."
"I know. Thanks. Bye." I ran to Hearthstone, who was bouncing up and down with impatience.
"What happened?" I demanded. "Where were you?"
He was already running. I followed him out of the funeral home, north on Arlington. Even pouring on the speed with my upgraded and hairy legs, I could barely keep up. Elves, I discovered, could run fast when they wanted to. We reached the stairs to the T-stop just as Blitzen was coming up. I recognized the wide-brimmed hat and coat from the Longfellow Bridge. He'd added larger sunglasses, a ski mask, leather gloves, and a scarf. In one hand, he carried a black canvas bag. I guessed he was going for that invisible man goes bowling look.
"Whoa, whoa, whoa!"
Blitz grabbed Hearth to keep him from tumbling into traffic.
"What happened to your eye? Did you guys find the sword?"
"No sword," I gasped. "Hearth's eye. I don't know. Something about danger." Hearth clapped for our attention.
"Knocked out," he signed. "Girl jumped from second story of funeral home. Landed on me. I woke up in alley."
"A girl in the funeral home?" I scowled.
"You don't mean Annabeth? She's my cousin."
He shook his head. "Not her. Other girl. She was..." His hands froze when he noticed Blitz's bag. Hearth stepped back, shaking his head in disbelief.
"You brought him?"
He spelled it out. H-I-M. So I knew I hadn't misunderstood. Blitz hefted the bag. His face was impossible to read, swaddled in anti-sunlight protection, but his voice was heavy.
"Yeah. Capo's orders. First things first. Magnus, your cousin was at the funeral home?"
"It's okay." I resisted the urge to ask why there was a him in the bowling bag.
"Annabeth won't say anything."
"But another girl was there?"
"I didn't see her. I guess she heard me coming in and went upstairs." The dwarf turned to Hearth.
"At which point, she jumped from the second floor window, knocked you out, and got away?"
Hearth nodded. "She had to be looking for the sword."
"You think she found it?"
Blitz asked. Hearth shook his head.
"How can you be sure?" I asked.
because she's right there.
Harth pointed across Boylston.
A quarter mile down Arlington Street, walking at a fast clip, was a girl in a brown peacoat and a green headscarf. I recognized that scarf. Harth's swollen eye had been compliments of Samira Alabis, my ex-Valkyrie.
Chapter 27.
Let's play frisbee with bladed weapons. At the north end of the park, Sam crossed Beacon Street, heading for the footbridge over Starrow Drive.
Where's she going? I asked.
The river, obviously, Blit said. She checked out your body at the funeral home.
Can we please not phrase it that way?
She didn't find the sword. Now she's checking the river.
Sam climbed the spiral ramp of the footbridge. She glanced back in our direction, and we had to hide behind a pile of dirty snow. During the summer tourist season, it would have been easier to follow her without attracting attention. Now, the sidewalks were mostly empty. Blitzen adjusted his dark glasses.
I don't like it. Best case scenario, the Valkyrie sent her, but...
No, I said. She was kicked out of the Valkyries.
I told them the story as we crouched behind our snowbank.
Harth looked aghast. His swollen eye had turned the color of Kermit the Frog.
Daughter of Loki? He signed.
She's working for her dad.
I don't know, I said. I can't quite believe that.
Because she saved you?
I wasn't sure. Maybe I didn't want to believe she was playing for Team Evil. Maybe Loki's words had wormed their way into my head.
I'm definitely on your side.
I pointed at Harth's eye and signed P for permission.
I touched his eyelid. A spark of warmth passed through my fingertip. The bruising faded.
Blitz chuckled.
You're getting good at that, Magnus.
Hearthstone grabbed my hand. He studied my fingertips as if looking for residual magic.
Whatever.
I pulled my hand away, a little embarrassed. The last thing I wanted to be was Magnus Chase, Viking paramedic.
We're losing Sam. Let's go.
Sam headed downstream on the Esplanade jogging trail. We crossed the footbridge. Beneath us, cars edged along bumper to bumper, honking incessantly. Judging from all the construction vehicles and flashing lights on the Longfellow Bridge, the traffic was probably my fault. My battle with Surt had completely closed the span. We lost sight of Sam as we took the spiral ramp to the Esplanade. We walked past the playground. I figured we would spot her somewhere down the path, but she had disappeared.
Well, that's just great, I said.
Blitz limped into the shadow of the closed concession stand. He looked like he was having trouble carrying his bowling bag.
You okay?
I asked.
Legs are just slightly petrified. Nothing to worry about.
That sounds like something to worry about.
Harth paced. Wish I had a bow. I could have shot her.
Blitzen shook his head.
Stick to magic, my friend.
Harth's gestures were sharp with irritation. Can't read your lips. The beard is bad enough. The ski mask, impossible.
Blitz set down the bowling bag, then signed while he spoke.
Harth is very good with runes. He knows more rune magic than any living mortal.
Mortal like human? I asked.
Blitz snorted.
Kid, humans aren't the only mortal species. I meant humans, dwarves, or elves. You can't count giants. They're weird. Or the gods, obviously. Or the soothsayers who live in Valhalla. I never understood what they were. But among the three mortal species, Hearthstone is the best magician. Well, he's also the only magician, as far as I know. He's the first person in centuries to dedicate his life to magic.
I'm blushing, Hearthstone signed, clearly not blushing.
My point is, you've got real talent, Blitz told him. But still, you want to be an archer.
Elves were great archers, Harth protested.
A thousand years ago?
Blitzen chopped his hand twice between his opposite thumb and forefinger, the sign for annoyed.
Harth is romantic. He longs for the old days. He's the sort of elf who goes to Renaissance festivals.
Harth grunted.
I went one time.
Guys, I said, we have to find Sam.
No point, Harth signed. She'll search the river. Let her waste her time. We already looked.
What if we missed the sword?
Blitz asked.
What if she's got another way to find it?
It's not in the river, I said.
Blitz and Harth both stared at me.
You sure about that?
Blitz asked.
Yeah. Don't ask me how, but now that I'm closer to the water...
I stared out over the Charles, its rippling gray lines etched with ice. I feel the same as when I stood over my coffin. There's a kind of hollowness, like when you rattle a can and you can tell there's nothing inside.
I just know. The sword isn't anywhere close.
Rattling a can, Blitzen mused. Okay. I don't suppose you could direct us toward the cans we should be rattling?
That would be good, said Samira Al-Labis.
She charged from behind the concession building and kicked me in the chest, propelling me backward into a tree. My lungs imploded like paper sacks. By the time I could see straight again, Blitzen was slumped against the wall. Harth's bag of runestones had scattered across the pavement, and Sam was swinging her axe at him.
Stop it!
I meant to yell, but it came out as more of a wheeze. Harth dodged the axe and tried to tackle her. Sam judo flipped him over her knee. Harth landed flat on his back. Blitzen tried to get up. His hat was tilted sideways. His glasses had been knocked off, and the skin around his eyes was turning gray in the daylight. Sam turned to axe smack him.
Anger roared through me. I reached for the chain on my belt. Instantly, it was a sword again. I pulled the blade and sent it spinning like a frisbee. It clanged against Sam's axe, knocking the weapon from her hand, almost taking off her face in the process. She stared at me in disbelief.
What the hell, Haim?
You started it!
Harth grabbed her ankle. Sam kicked him away.
And stop kicking my elf, I said.
Sam pushed back her headscarf, letting her dark hair sweep her shoulders. She crouched in a wrestler stance, ready to take us all on.
So help me, Magnus, if I had my full powers, I would rip your soul from your body for all the trouble you've caused me.
That's nice, I said.
Or you could tell us what you're doing here. Maybe we could help each other.
Blitzen snatched up his sunglasses.
Help her? Why would we help her? She knocked out Harth at the funeral home. My eyes feel like chunks of quartz.
Well, maybe if you hadn't been stalking me, Sam said.
Bah!
Blitzen readjusted his hat.
Nobody was stalking you, Valkyrie. We're looking for the same thing, the sword.
Still lying on the ground, Harth signed, Somebody please kill her.
What's he doing?
Sam demanded.
Is he making rude elf gestures at me?
It's ASL, I said. American Sign Language.
Elf Sign Language,
Blitz corrected.
Anyway, I raised my palms, can we call a truce and talk? We can always go back to killing each other later.
Sam paced, muttering under her breath. She retrieved her axe and my sword.
Nice job, Magnus, I told myself. Now she has all the weapons.
She tossed the sword back to me.
I should never have chosen you for Valhalla.
Blitzen snorted.
On that, at least, we agree. If you hadn't interfered on the bridge...
Interfered? Sam demanded. Magnus was already dead when I chose him. You and the elf weren't doing him any good with your plastic sign and your squeaky arrows.
Blitz stood straight, which didn't make him much taller.
I'll have you know, my friend is a great rune caster.
Really?
Samira asked.
I didn't see him using magic on the bridge against Surt.
Hearthstone looked offended. Would have got sidetracked.
Exactly, Blitz said. And as for me, I have many skills, Valkyrie.
For instance?
For instance, I could fix your disgraceful outfit. No one wears a brown peacoat with a green headscarf.
A dwarf in sunglasses and a ski mask is giving me fashion advice.
I have daylight issues.
Guys, I said, stop, please. Thank you.
I helped Hearthstone to his feet. He scowled at Sam and began collecting his runestones.
Okay, I said. Sam, why are you looking for the sword?
Because it's my only chance. Because...
Her voice cracked. All the rage seemed to ebb out of her.
Because I honored your stupid bravery. I rewarded you with Valhalla, and it cost me everything. If I can find the sword, maybe the Thanes will reinstate me. I can convince them that I'm not...
The daughter of Loki?
Blitzen asked, but his voice had lost some of its edge. Sam lowered her axe.
I can't do anything about that, but I'm not working for my father. I'm loyal to Odin.
Hearthstone glanced at me skeptically like, are you buying this?
I trust her, I said. Blitz grunted. Is this another rattle-the-can instinct?
Maybe, I said. Look, we all want to find this sword, right? We want to keep it away from Surt.
Assuming Surt doesn't already have it, Sam said. Assuming we can figure out what's going on. Assuming the Norn's prophecy for you isn't as bad as it sounds.
One way to find out.
Blitz held up the bowling ball bag. Sam stepped away.
What's in there?
Hearth made a claw and tapped it twice on his shoulder. The sign for boss.
Answers, Blitz said, whether we want them or not. Let's confer with the capo.
Chapter 28. Talk to the face, 'cause that's pretty much all he's got. Blitz led us down the esplanade, where a pier extended into an icy lagoon. At the base of the dock, a candy-striped pole listed sideways.
This is where they do gondola rides in the summer, I said. I don't think you're going to find one now.
We just need water.
Blitz sat on the dock and unzipped the bowling bag.
Oh, gods! Sam peered inside. Is that human hair?
Hair, yes, Blitz said. Human, no.
You mean...
She pressed her hand to her stomach.
You're not serious. You work for him? You brought him here?
He insisted.
Blitz pushed down the sides of the bag, revealing, yep, a severed head. The most messed up thing about that? After 2 days in Valhalla, I wasn't even surprised. The beheaded man's face was shriveled like a month-old apple. Tufts of rust-colored hair clung to his scalp. His closed eyes were sunken and dark. His bearded jaw protruded bulldog style, revealing a crooked row of bottom teeth. Blitz unceremoniously shoved the head in the water, bag and all.
Dude, I said, the State River Authority isn't going to like that.
The head bobbed on the surface of the lagoon. The water around it bubbled and swirled. The man's face inflated, his wrinkles softening, his skin turning pink. He opened his eyes. Sam and Hearth both knelt. Sam elbowed me to take a knee.
Lord Mimir, Sam said, you honor us.
The head opened his mouth and spewed water. More came out of his nostrils, his ears, his tear ducts. He reminded me of a catfish dragged from the bottom of a lake.
Man, I hate...
The head coughed more water. His eyes turned from chalk white to blue.
I hate traveling in that bag.
Blitzen bowed.
Sorry, Capo. It was that or the fish tank, and the fish tank breaks easily.
The head gurgled. He scanned the faces on the dock until he found me.
Son of Frey, I've come a long way to speak with you. Hope you appreciate it.
You're the mysterious classified boss, I said. Harth and Blitz have been watching me for 2 years, because they got orders from a severed head?
Show some respect, boyo.
Mimir's voice reminded me of the longshoremen down at the Union Hall, their lungs half nicotine, half seawater. Harth frowned at me. Told you, C-A-P-O. Capo means head. Why surprised?
I am Mimir, said the head. Once I was mighty among the Aesir. Then came the war with the Vanir. Now, I got my own operation.
His face was so ugly, it was hard to tell whether he was giving me an ugly look. Did Frey cut off your head? I asked. Is that why you're mad at me? Mimir huffed.
I'm not mad. You'll know when I'm mad.
I wondered what that meant. Maybe he would gurgle more threateningly.
Your dad was part of the reason I lost my head, though, said Mimir. See, as part of the truce to end the war, the two godly tribes exchanged hostages. Your father, Frey, and his father, Njord, came to live in Asgard. The god Honir and I, we were sent to live in Vanaheim.
I'm guessing that didn't go well. More water spouted from Mimir's ears.
Your father made me look bad. He was this great general among the Vanir, all golden and shiny and handsome. He and Njord got all kinds of respect in Asgard. As for me and Honir, the Vanir weren't so impressed.
No kidding.
Well, Honir was never very, how you say, charismatic. The Vanir would ask his opinions on important business. He'd mumble, "Yeah, whatever, it's all good." Me? I tried to pull my weight. I told the Vanir they should be getting into casinos.
Casinos?
Yeah, busloads of retirees coming to Vanaheim. Easy money. And the Vanir had all these dragons. I told them, racetracks, in the sky, with dragons. They'd make a killing.
I looked at Blitz and Harth. They seemed resigned, like they'd heard the story many times before.
So anyway, said Mimir, the Vanir didn't like my worthy counsel. They felt cheated in the hostage swap. As a protest, they cut off my head and sent it to Odin.
Shocking, when they could have had casinos.
Sam coughed loudly. Of course, great Mimir, both Aesir and Vanir honor you now. Magnus didn't mean to insult you. He is not so stupid.
She glared at me like, you are so stupid.
Around Mimir's head, the water bubbled faster. It trickled from his pores and streamed from his eyes.
Forget about it, son of Frey. I don't hold a grudge. Besides, when Odin received my severed head, he didn't take revenge. See, the Allfather was smart. He knew the Vanir and Aesir had to unite against our common enemy, the Triads.
Blitz adjusted his hat. I think you mean the Giants, boss.
Right. Those guys. So Odin carried me to a hidden cave in Jotunheim, where this magical spring feeds the roots of Yggdrasil. He placed my head in the well. The water brought me back to life, and I soaked in all the knowledge of the world tree. My wisdom increased 1,000-fold.
But you're still a severed head.
Mimir made a sideways nod.
It's not so bad. I operate across the 9 worlds. Loans, protection, pachinko machines.
Pachinko.
Pachinko is huge. Plus, I'm always working to delay Ragnarok. Ragnarok would be bad for business.
Right. I decided to sit down because it seemed like this could take a while. Once I did it, Sam and Hearth followed my example. Chickens.
Also,
Mimir said,
Odin visits me for advice from time to time. I'm his consigliere. I guard the well of knowledge. Sometimes I let travelers drink from its waters, though that kind of intel never comes without a price.
The word price settled over the dock like a heavy blanket. Blitzen sat so still I was afraid he'd turn to stone. Hearthstone studied the grain of the planks. I began to understand how my friends had gotten involved with Mimir. They'd drunk from his waters, gross, and paid the price by watching me for the past 2 years. I wondered if what they'd learned had been worth it.
So, great and well-connected Mimir, I said, what do you want with me?
Mimir spit out a minnow.
I don't have to tell you, boyo. You already know.
I wanted to disagree, but the longer I listened to Mimir, the more I felt like I was breathing pure oxygen. I don't know why. The capo wasn't exactly inspiring. Yet, being around him, my mind seemed to function better, weaving together bits and pieces of weirdness I'd experienced over the last few days into one strangely cohesive picture. An illustration from my old children's book of Norse myths came back to me. A tale so terrifying, even in its watered-down kiddie version, that I had buried it in my memory for years. The wolf, I said. Surt wants to free Fenris Wolf. I was hoping somebody would contradict me. Hearth lowered his head. Sam closed her eyes like she was praying.
Fenris, said Blitzen. There's a name I was hoping never to hear again.
Mimir kept crying ice water. His lips curled in a faint smile.
There you go, son of Frey. Now tell me, what do you know about Fenris Wolf?
I buttoned my hunting jacket. The wind off the river seemed cold, even to me. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. Ages ago, Loki had an affair with a giantess. They had 3 monstrous kids.
I was not one of them, Sam muttered. I've heard all the jokes.
Hearthstone winced, like he'd been wondering about that.
One, I said, was a huge snake.
Jormungand, Sam said. The world serpent, which Odin threw into the sea.
The second was Hel, I continued. She became, like, the goddess of the dishonorable dead.
And the third, Blitzen said, was Fenris Wolf.
His tone was bitter, full of pain. Blitz, I said, you sound like you know him.
Every dwarf knows of Fenris. That was the first time the Aesir came to us for help. Fenris grew so savage he would have devoured the gods. They tried to tie him up, but he broke every chain.
I remember, I said. Finally, the dwarves made a rope strong enough to hold him.
Ever since, Blitzen said, the children of Fenris have been enemies of the dwarves.
He looked up, his dark shades reflecting my face.
You're not the only one who's lost family to wolves, kid.
I had a strange urge to hug him. Suddenly, I didn't feel so bad about all the time he'd spent watching me.
We were brothers in something more than homelessness. Still, I resisted the impulse. Whenever I'm tempted to hug a dwarf, that's usually a sign I need to move along.
On Ragnarok, I said, the Day of Doom, one of the first things that's supposed to happen is Fenris gets freed.
Sam nodded.
The old stories don't say how that happens.
But one way, Blit said, would be to cut him loose. The rope Gleipnir is unbreakable, but...
Frey's sword, Hearth signed, is the sharpest blade in the Nine Worlds.
Surt wants to free the wolf with my father's sword.
I looked at Mimir.
How are we doing so far?
Not bad, the head burbled. Which brings us to your task.
Stop Surt, I said. Find the sword before he does, assuming he hasn't got it already.
He doesn't, Mimir said. Believe me, an event like that would make the Nine Worlds tremble. I'd taste fear in the waters of Yggdrasil.
Yuck, I said.
You have no idea, said Mimir. But you must hurry.
The Norn's prophecy, 9 days hence, blah blah blah. Water bubbled out of Mimir's ears.
I'm pretty sure they didn't say blah blah blah. However, you're correct. The island where the gods imprisoned Fenris is only accessible on the first full moon of each year. That's now 7 days hence.
Who makes up these rules? I asked.
I made up that rule, Mimir said. So shut up. Find the sword. Reach the island before Surt does.
Sam raised her hand.
Lord Mimir, I understand finding the sword, but why take it to the island? Isn't that where Surt wants the sword?
See, Miss Al-Abbas, this is why I'm the boss and you're not. Yeah, bringing the sword to the island is dangerous. Yeah, Surt could use it to free the wolf. But Surt is gonna find a way to free Fenris with or without it. I did mention I can see the future, right? The only person who might be able to stop Surt is Magnus Chase. Assuming he can find the sword and learn to wield it properly.
I'd shut up for almost a whole minute, so I figured I could raise my hand.
Lord Mr. Bubbles?
Mimir.
If this sword is such a big deal, why did everybody let it sit on the bottom of the Charles River for 1,000 years?
Mimir sighed foam.
My regular minions never ask so many questions.
Blitz coughed.
Actually, we do, boss. You just ignore us.
To answer your question, Magnus Chase, the sword can only be found by a descendant of Frey upon reaching the age of maturity. Others have tried, failed, and died. Right now, you're the only living descendant of Frey.
The only one in the world?
In the Nine Worlds. Frey doesn't get out much anymore. Your mother, she must have been really something to attract his attention. Anyway, a lot of people in the Nine Worlds, gods, giants, bookies, you name it, have been waiting for you to turn 16. Some wanted you killed so you couldn't find the sword. Some wanted you to succeed.
Hot pins pressed against the base of my neck. The idea of a bunch of gods peering through their Asgardian telescopes, watching me grow up, creeped me out. My mom must have known all along. She'd done her best to keep me safe, to teach me survival skills. The night the wolves attacked her apartment, she'd given her life to save me. I met the Kapo's watery eyes.
And you? I asked. What do you want?
You're a risky bet, Magnus. A lot of possible fates intersect in your life. You could deal the forces of evil a great setback and delay Ragnarok for generations. Or, if you fail, you could hasten the day of doom.
I tried to swallow. Hasten it, like, by how much?
How does next week work for you?
Oh.
I decided to take the bet, Mimir said. After the children of Fenris killed your mother, I sent Blitzenhearth to guard you. You probably don't realize how many times they've saved your life.
Hearth held up 7 fingers. I shuddered, but mostly from the mention of Fenris's 2 children, the wolves with blue eyes.
To succeed, said Mimir, you're gonna need this team. Hearthstone here, he's dedicated his life to rune magic. Without him, you'll fail. You'll also need an able dwarf like Blitzen, who understands dwarven crafting. You might need to strengthen the wolf's bindings, or even replace them.
Blitz shifted.
Boss? My crafting skills are, well, you know.
Don't give me that, said Mimir. No dwarf has a stouter heart. No dwarf has traveled farther in the 9 worlds, or has more of a desire to keep Fenris chained. Also, you're in my service. You'll do what I say.
Ah, Blitzen nodded. When you put it that way.
What about me, Lord Mimir? Asked Sam. What's my part in your plan? Mimir frowned. Around his beard, the water bubbled a darker shade of green.
You weren't part of the plan at all. There's a cloud around your fate, Miss Al-Abbas. Taking Magnus to Valhalla. I didn't see that coming. It wasn't supposed to happen.
Sam looked away, her lips pressed tight with anger.
Sam's got a part to play, I said. I'm sure of it.
Do not patronize me, Magnus. I chose you because... She stopped herself. It was supposed to happen. I remembered what she'd said in the feast hall. I was told. I was promised. By whom? I decided not to ask that in front of the capo. Mimir studied her.
I hope you're right, Miss Al-Abbas. When Magnus first took the sword from the river, he couldn't control it very well. Maybe now that he is an Inheri, he'll have the strength, in which case you've saved the day. Or maybe you've completely messed up his destiny.
We're going to succeed, I insisted. Just 2 questions. Where is the sword, and where is the island? Mimir nodded, which made him look like an oversized fishing bobber.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? To find that kind of information, I'd have to tear the veils between the worlds, grease a lot of palms, see into the realms of the other gods.
Couldn't we just drink your magic well water?
You could,
he agreed.
But it would cost you. Are you and Samira Al-Abbas ready to be bound to my service?
Hearth's face froze in apprehension. From the tension in Blitz's shoulders, I guessed he was trying very hard not to leap to his feet and scream, "Don't do it!" You couldn't make an exception? I asked the capo. Seeing as how you want this job done?
No can do, boyo. I'm not being greedy. It's just, well, you get what you pay for. Something comes cheap. It ain't worth much. That's true for knowledge, especially. You can pay for a shortcut. Get the information right now, or you'll have to find it on your own, the hard way.
Sam crossed her arms. Apologies, Lord Mimir. I may be kicked out of the Valkyries, but I still consider myself bound to Odin's service. I can't take on another master. Magnus can make his own choice, but...
We'll figure it out on our own, I agreed.
Mimir made a low sloshing sound. He looked almost impressed.
Interesting choice. Good luck, then. If you succeed, you'll have a house account at all my pachinko parlors. If you fail, I'll see you next week for doomsday.
The god's head swirled and disappeared into the icy water of the lagoon.
He flushed himself, I said.
Harth looked even paler than usual. What now? My stomach rumbled. I hadn't eaten anything since last night, and apparently my system had gotten spoiled after a couple of all-you-can-eat Viking buffets.
Now, I said, I'm thinking lunch.
Chapter 29. We are falafel-jacked by an eagle. We didn't talk much as we headed back through the park. The air smelled of incoming snow. The wind picked up and howled like wolves, or maybe I just had wolves on the brain. Blitz limped along, zigzagging from shadow to shadow as best he could. Harth's brightly striped scarf didn't match his grim expression. I wanted to ask him more about rune magic, now that I knew he was the best, and only, mortal practitioner. Maybe there was a rune that could make wolves explode, preferably from a safe distance. But Harth kept his hands shoved in his pockets, the sign language equivalent of, I don't want to talk. We were passing my old sleeping spot under the footbridge when Sam grumbled, Mimir, I should have known he was involved. I glanced over. A few minutes ago, you were all... Lord Mimir, you honor us. We're not worthy. Of course I showed respect when he was right in front of me. He's one of the oldest gods. But he's unpredictable. It's never been clear whose side he's on. Blitzen jumped to the shade of a willow tree, alarming several ducks.
The capo is on the side of everybody in the world who doesn't want to die. Isn't that enough?
Sam laughed.
I suppose you two work for him of your own free will? You didn't drink from his well and pay the price?
Neither Blitz nor Harth responded.
That's what I thought, Sam said. I'm not part of Mimir's plan because I would never blindly go along with it and drink his magical knowledge Kool-Aid.
It doesn't taste like Kool-Aid, Blitz objected. It's more like root beer, with a hint of clove.
Sam turned to me.
I'm telling you, this doesn't add up. Finding the Sword of Summer, I get that. But taking it to the very place where Surt wants to use it? Unwise.
Yeah, but if I have the sword...
Magnus, the sword is destined to fall into Surt's hands sooner or later. At Ragnarok... Your father will die because he gave his sword away. Surt will kill him with it. That's what most of the stories say, anyway.
I got claustrophobic just thinking about it. How could anybody, even a god, avoid going crazy if he knew centuries in advance exactly how he was going to die?
Why does Surt hate Frey so much? I asked. Couldn't he pick on a big, strong war god?
Blitzen frowned.
Kid, Surt wants death and destruction. He wants fire to run rampant across the nine worlds. A war god can't stop that. Frey can. He's the god of the growing season, the god of health and new life. He keeps the extremes in check, both fire and ice. There's nothing Surt hates worse than being restrained. Frey is his natural enemy.
And by extension, I thought, Surt hates
me.